We've been working our way through the Gospel of John at the 6:30 a.m. Tuesday Bible study for the last few months. And for the past few weeks, we've been reading and considering the story about Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead and all the promises of God that are contained in that story. Last Tuesday, I started us off on a slight tangent, which is not unusual, a slight tangent about prayer and the prayers that God answers. Because there's an interesting detail in the story that Jesus didn't rush to save Lazarus from dying, but instead he waited 4 days in order to raise Lazarus from the dead to reveal the glory of God. The tangent I got us off on was, what prayers does God answer? Does God only answer prayers to reveal his glory or his purposes? Or are there other prayers that God seems to respond to better than others? We went all over the place on praying and what's going on when we pray. One of the members of the group said, it doesn't really do anything. That's just for us. We're just saying prayers for ourselves. Others reminded me that God's not a vending machine, that we put our prayers in and then out comes the answer for us. And still others noted that it's very complicated. And it's as much about opening our lives to God's presence as it is about changing the circumstances of our lives or the circumstances of the world. Conversation led me to reopen a book by an author named John Ortberg. The title is, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And the stories he tells are all about prayers and how God seems to respond to prayers in people's lives. And one of the more interesting stories is about a pastor named Doug Coe and his work with this new Christian who he calls Bob, I guess to protect his importance. But one day Bob came in all excited about the verse in the Bible where Jesus says, ask whatever you want in my name and it will be given to you. Bob said, is this really true? Doug answered with a qualified yes, that Christ answers prayer. Great, Bob said, that I'm gonna pray for something big. I think I'll pray for Africa. The pastor thought that was a pretty broad prayer. Maybe he could start with just one country in Africa. And Bob thought for a moment, and he decided on Kenya. So Doug challenged Bob to pray every day for 6 months for Kenya. And then Doug made an extraordinary challenge to this new Christian. He said, if Bob prayed every day for 6 months for Kenya and nothing extraordinary happened, then he would give Bob $500. But if something remarkable happened, then Bob would have to donate $500 to Doug's church. And if Bob didn't pray every day, the whole deal is off. You know, sometimes pastors have to come up with unusual ways to get people into the Christian life. Well, Bob began to pray every day for several weeks, and nothing happened. And then one night, he was at a fundraiser in Washington, and he met a woman who helped run an orphanage in Kenya. It was the largest orphanage in the country, and when she heard about Bob's interest in Kenya, she invited him to come and visit. When Bob arrived in Kenya, he said he was appalled by the poverty and the lack of health care. And when he came home, he couldn't stop praying and thinking about the children and their needs. He continued to pray, but he also began to write letters to pharmaceutical companies and medical supply companies, asking them to send their surplus to this orphanage. In about 2 months, the orphanage received over $1 million worth of medical supplies. The woman who ran the orphanage was overwhelmed with excitement and gratitude, and she called Bob to thank him and invited him back to the orphanage for a celebration. So Bob flew back to Kenya, and while he was there, he met the president of the country. And in the course of talking, the president offered to give him a tour of Nairobi, which Bob accepted. And they visited a prison where there was an area of the prison that was more downtrodden than the rest. And Bob asked the president who those men were, and he said they were political prisoners. And Bob told the president, that's not a good idea. In a democracy, you have to let everyone in. You should set them free. Bob finished the tour and flew back home. And a few weeks later, he received a call from the U.S. State Department. It seemed they had been working for years to get these political prisoners to be freed, and now they had been released by Bob's comment to the president, and they called Bob to thank him for his good work. Several months later, the president of Kenya contacted Bob. He was going to make some changes in his cabinet and the vision for the country, and he wanted Bob there for 3 days to pray for him So Bob flew back and prayed for the leader and for the country, all from starting to pray intensely for 6 months and getting $500, by the way. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate one of the most important days in the church year, Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. It's the day when the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus' first followers and stayed. The day when God began to change the world through people like you and me, through people who have been empowered as witnesses, empowered to live the Christian life, empowered so that the whole world will know about God's love and grace and God's vision for the world. But an important event took place 10 days before Pentecost and set the stage for all of this. 10 days before the Holy Spirit came in all its fullness, Christ ascended to the heaven to be with the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come. But before Jesus left, he said to his followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Spirit so that you will be empowered as my witnesses." So on Ascension Day, which was Thursday, but we actually moved it today because none of you come to church on Thursday. On Ascension Day, Christ bid his followers farewell, and then he bid them to wait to be transformed. And what did the disciples do during those 10 days waiting for the Holy Spirit? We heard it in the book of Acts just now. They spent 10 days in prayer. They prayed for 10 days together, preparing for the gift of the Holy Spirit. For 10 days, they shut out the concerns of the world and their fears of the authorities who had killed Jesus. For 10 days, they humbled themselves before God. For 10 days, they emptied themselves of anything that was keeping them from being the servants that God was calling them to be. For 10 days, they listened for the leading of God and experience God's presence. No wonder they were so responsive when the day of Pentecost came. They were prepared. They were focused. They were united in a common cause. It would be easy to imagine that Pentecost wouldn't have turned out the way it did if Jesus' first followers hadn't humbled themselves and prayed those 10 days. And it makes me wonder what might happen at St. David's if each one of us entered into an intense period of prayer. What might happen in the world? What might happen in our lives or in the lives of people that we love and care for? Well, I'm not talking about frivolous sports prayers like Virginia winning the lacrosse championship or self-centered prayers or prayers that are unrealistic like changing the time-space continuum, but I'm talking about prayers that are important, prayers for what is important to God and important for the life of the world, prayers that change us. Prayers that open us to the presence and power of God. Prayers that bring about actual change and draw us into the partnership with God that God invites and desires for all of us. You and I have a much greater power in our lives than we're aware of. You and I have access to a power and a leading that's far beyond our knowledge and abilities. You and I have an opportunity, just as Jesus' first followers had the opportunity to be transformed into the dynamic women and men that God created us each to be. And the key that unlocks all that knowledge and power and ability and potential is prayer. The key is intensive, determined, persistent prayer that the Holy Spirit will come into our lives, will come to reveal God's presence, to give us a sense of purpose, to fill us with that peace that passes understanding, and with the power to do things far beyond our own abilities. I don't have a handbook or a simple how-to when it comes to the prayers that God answers. God is in charge and not any of us, and I thank God for that. No, there is no one kind of prayer that God answers, but when we pray, God will enter more deeply into our lives. And we will enter more deeply into the life with God. The famous and popular Christian author of the last century, C.S. Lewis, in writing about prayer, said this: "The more I pray, the more coincidences seem to happen in my life." And I think that's true. So as we prepare our hearts and lives for the celebration of Pentecost, when we remember that the Holy Spirit has come and stayed, and as we continue to live this Christian life, I invite you into a 1 week of intensive, persistent prayer. Take time with God every day. Be quiet. listen up. Offer your life up to God in some way. Pray to be drawn into the closer presence of God, and pray that God opens you to the Spirit to enter in a most profound way. It's unlikely that any of us will go to Kenya, though that might happen. But when we pray, we will be drawn into the life and power and transformation that comes for all of us in the Christian life, that comes for all of us by God's grace and love and God's choosing. Then it will lead us all into a life that's really life, the life lived with the presence of God at work in us, the life lived with the power of God working through us. Pray. Amen.